Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news. But stand by now for the worldview. That's right. This is the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back to the show, where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. So glad to have you back with us, ladies and gentlemen, on a magical night here in Denver, Colorado. Full moon and everything. You know, I had a good feeling about the game last night. I was watching the local news, and the local news broadcast showed a view of Mile High Stadium from Coors Field, and in the background, in a clear sky, you could see the cross hovering above Mile High Stadium. Yeah, there's a lighted cross here in the foothills outside of Denver, Colorado. And the folks on the local news, I don't remember which channel it was, I just happened to capture that last night, and that just added to my confidence after my bold prediction of last week. A friend of mine actually left me a voicemail at halftime asking if I was ready to gloat about my bold prediction about Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos knocking off the evil Ben Roethlisberger. Well, I guess I shouldn't say evil. Should I? No. We're not going to say the evil Ben Roethlisberger. Let's just say the dark figure, Ben Roethlisberger. But no, I was not ready to gloat at halftime. In fact, It was quite touch and go there for a while. And for the first time in I don't know how many years, my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, we watched the entire game and did not have our hearts broken. Yeah, and I'm used to that because I've been a Buffalo Bills and a Denver Broncos fan for going way back. So anyway, all I thought, ladies and gentlemen, was that Mr. Tebow would prove that he can play in the NFL. And I think he's done that. Well, I hope so. Really, really encouraging. But I've got to tell you, my throat is pretty wrecked because I was screaming like a teenage girl at a Beatles concert. And I believe I injured my back jumping over the coffee table. I'm pretty sure I have a low back injury listed as questionable for next week against the mighty Patriots. Where are they from? Boston. New England Patriots. Yes, that's who we will be going up against next week. Okay. And I do not predict this week. I'm not ready to make a bold prediction that the Broncos will defeat the mighty New England Patriots. But I believe that Tim Tebow will acquit himself well and indeed prove that he can play in this league. And he will thank his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which I did, by the way, after the game. I said, thank you, Jesus, for sending Tim Tebow to Denver, because it's just been great. I don't think Jesus had anything to do with Tim Tebow coming to Denver, but he had everything to do with Tim Tebow being. And so we just appreciate the effort on behalf of our Lord. Lord, nice work. You know, and there were some questions, you know, when Timmy was in utero, as to whether or not he would be, let's say whether or not he'd be qualified to play in the NFL or whether or not he would have a throwing arm that was appropriate for the NFL. There were some questions, but never in the minds of those who believe. All right. So, but we will be watching next week. Can we agree on that, dear?
Let's not talk about anything.
Okay. Let's not, let's not ruin the moment by focusing on the mighty.
Anything else.
Oh, you want to do the whole show on the Broncos?
<Just kidding.
laughs> Well, you know, there is the chance now. It's an outside chance that fellow Christian defensive player Brian Dawkins could return next week. And that could be too much for the mighty Boston Patriots to overcome. I'm here to tell you that. If he comes back, I might make another bold prediction. But if he stays out, then I'm just going to. Well, hey, and here's the thing, folks. I wasn't kidding. I was willing to bet on the game. I tried to bet a friend of mine at church this morning. I tried to bet $100 on the game. He wouldn't do it. He said, I just can't bet against Tebow. But he said, I wouldn't make that prediction that they're going to win. Anyway, so we're just all very excited.
Gamble?
I was attempting to gamble in the back of the church. And he didn't take me up on it, so. Anyway, could have been $100 richer. Should we get to the news? Because there is other news, I think.
There is?
Yeah, well, there is other news. You know, there's people who listen to this program from all over the country, and they pretty much love Tim Tebow, too. So we could probably do the whole game. Anyway, it was just, we're all aglow here. And I don't know if I can make it through an hour-long monologue because my pipes are pretty stressed out. I'm going to stop and take a drink of water right now. And I'm going to ask my extremely attractive audio engineer to begin massaging my lower back because it really is hurting. All right. Now, there are bigger stories out there this week, ladies and gentlemen. We do want to get to them. We don't want to waste too much of your time. I want to start in the textbooks of American universities and high schools as our young people matriculate through the government-controlled school systems. Are you aware? Now, this story is actually from an ad on WorldNetDaily.com. The ad is from a website called CreationMoments.com. And they're trying to sell a book or a subscription to something. I never really got all the way down the page. But the folks over at CreationMoments.com, they say that in 1866, a German scientist and strong supporter of Darwin, Ernst Haeckel, got in trouble for faking evidence. He supposedly showed that developing embryos go through the earlier evolutionary stages of their species. The scientific community investigated and found that he had faked his drawings. But CreationMoments.com makes the outrageous claim that textbooks today, well over a century later, still present this faked evidence in support of evolution. One of the most widely used evidences used to support this idea today is the claim that the developing human fetus has gill slits at one point in its development. And I distinctly remember in eighth grade biology hearing this gill slits claim regarding the faked Haeckel drawings, which my biology teacher did not tell me that they had been debunked 100 years before I was born. But he did mention the gill slits. Now, CreationMoments.com asserts, the truth is, regarding the gill slits, the truth is the developing fetus has folds of skin around its neck that contain the developing organs found in the neck. These folds have nothing in common with gill slits. Okay? And I'm not an embryologist, but I'd be happy to send you to 1,000,006 of them, and they'd all tell you that this is the case, if they're worth their salt. Creation Moments goes on to say, while no scientist today accepts this theory of gill slits, and it is even refuted in most encyclopedias, it can still be found in textbooks used by high school students. This anti-scientific idea continues to be used as a scientific justification for abortion. That's right, because if we all just evolve from the goo to the zoo to you, then it really doesn't matter if we kill you or we kill a baby or we kill an old, unloved, inconvenient person. Because after all, we're all just biological matter bumping into one another here on this big blue marble, all by chance. So Creation Moments makes these wild accusations about the institutions of higher learning here in America. And I went and did a little bit of research online. I'll admit that I didn't have a lot of time for research today. I was researching the defense of the hated Pittsburgh Steelers. Although we don't hate them so much now. No. Well, we kind of feel sorry for them now. But anyway, you know what's going to be fun is watching all of the sportscasters and sports writers and how they're going to back and fill this week. I'm going to get back to this Haeckel story. But real quickly, I want you folks to remember that in over the course of 3 weeks, the talk in the sports media world went from who's a better quarterback, Tom Brady or Tim Tebow? It went from that to by the end of this past week, will the Broncos start Quentin Collier? What's the third string quarterback's name? I don't even know. Quentin or whatever his name is. Will Tim Tebow even come out in the second half? So that's how far the pendulum has swung over this past week. And I have maintained my position firmly that Tim Tebow is a winner. He's young and he's not that great yet, but he's a winner. And he's a fine example for the youths of America. And so whether or not he defeats the vaunted Boston Patriots next week or not, he will continue to do just that. He will continue to do just that. And I never for a moment thought that Quinn, I can't remember the kid's name, I apologize. Colton Quinn or Quayton, I don't know. Anyway, see, I don't even know his name. What were the odds he was going to take a snap in the second half? It wasn't going to happen, folks. Anyway, it'll be interesting to listen to sports radio this week. Another thing that I haven't done in decades. I just haven't. But it'll be interesting to hear the backing and filling. And, of course, the inevitable predictions that the Broncos will go down to defeat to the Boston Patriots. And I'm not willing to make that prediction that the Broncos will lose. The only thing I can say for sure right now is they've got a chance to win. All right. Now back to Haeckel. Okay, back to eighth grade. The website here, Creation Moments, they make this assertion about textbooks, but they don't list any and they don't have any footnotes. So I jumped online just before the show here, and I want to back up my friends at creationmoments.com. I want to buttress their argument here because the most recent biology text I could find that was published that included Haeckel's drawings, although it was a modern colorized version, and all of the ontology recapitulates phylogeny, or I forget exactly how that goes because once they said that in school, I really stopped paying attention. But all of that text and all the bogus debunked junk was presented in, ladies and gentlemen, drum roll please, a textbook called Biology, The Unity and Diversity of Life, 10th edition, published in 2004 by Thompson Learning. Yeah, and if you go online, folks, you can find literally dozens and dozens of footnoted references to high school and college biology texts that still include references to Haeckel without pointing out that he was a phony, a fraud, and a fake. And so if you're sending your children to the public schools, ladies and gentlemen, you are sinning against God, and you're sinning against your child. Your child is being brought up in a godless temple, and you just need to stop. I know it's difficult. Tell me about it. It's a sacrifice, okay? But it's well worth it. Well worth it. All right. So we're going to move on from Haeckel. By the way, that was creationmoments.com. I will put a link up to their site in the blog, which will be extremely short today, because me and my extremely attractive audio engineer are going to be celebrating the Broncos' victory late into the night tonight. Yeah, we're going to be having a good time. Now we watch the game with our kids, and so it's amazing, folks. You know, I have been an avid football fan at certain times in my life, and I always had a tendency to drink too much and use too much profanity during the football games. But I'll tell you what, watching the game with my extremely attractive audio engineer and our three little girls, it was probably the most joyous victory in a football game that I've witnessed in my lifetime, with no booze and no profanity and just, there was the jumping over the coffee table. There was some shouting. And yes, my girls are full-on Tebow maniacs. They love it. Although Lexi had a tendency to cheer no matter who scored. But she's only two. So she's almost three, though. We'll break her of that. All right. Now, the really big story this week, folks, and I'm not sure how I feel about this. I pulled this down off of Fox News earlier in the week, so I know there's been other things written about it, but I've been busy. The U.S. Navy this past week rescued 13 Iranian fishermen who'd been held by Somali pirates on their fishing boat for it appears they were held there for months, and the boat was used as a mothership for piracy activity there by the Iranians. And when I heard the story, it made me feel good. Now I've heard other political analysts who have questioned why would we do this and all that, and And what are we trying to be nice to the Iranians in the face of their continued threat against civilization and peace around the world? And I really think it comes down to the fact that the U.S. Navy is out there fighting pirates, and the pirates happen to be using an Iranian ship to direct their piracy activities, and so rescuing the Iranian fishermen was just a really nice byproduct of our anti-piracy efforts. So we stopped the pirates. Unfortunately, I don't think we killed any of the pirates, but we did rescue the Iranian fishermen. And in the face of the mad mullahs who run Iran, we showed that not only will our Navy dominate the region, but we'll also save your fishermen because, you know, we're civilized people, unlike the Iranians. Anyway, I'm not sure what else I can say about the story, except that it made me feel really good to know that just as I suspected about the Denver Broncos versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, when it comes to the United States of America versus the Iranians, we're just better than them. That song was running through my head during that Demaryius Thomas run there in overtime. Man, that was so cool. Yeah, we was all fired up, and we were having a good time, and we are fired up here on the broadcast today, ladies and gentlemen. So good to have you along. Now, we've been discussing the youths of America, both in the Navy, who rescued these poor Iranian fishermen, and the ones who are reading the lies about evolution. I'm debating a chap online right now, and he's got like 8 or 9 posts. I'm kind of behind, but he's gone for the full-fledged attack on young earth creationism, and I always love that when an unbeliever attacks the young earth creationist position, because what they don't realize and what they've never looked at is the overwhelming evidence against their position, and I always love to be able to present that. And I plan to do that for this this civilized and gentlemanly chap that I'm debating online on Facebook. But I'm probably not going to get to it till tomorrow because I'm going to be busy. All right. But let's talk some more about the youths in America. According to USA Today, the number of people under 18 has declined more than 260,000. From 2010 to 2011. There's just not as many young people. And they also note that overall, the U.S. population is growing at its slowest rate since the mid-1940s. And they credit the weak economy, and they go through some other, what I would consider ancillary factors to the fact that the U.S. population is on the decline. Well, it's not on the decline, but it's certainly not growing as fast as it needs to grow in order to keep up with the Muslims and the other people who threaten Christendom around the world. But I really think it's all about the fact that we decided 40 or 50 years ago that having kids was bad and inconvenient, and it chained women down and it ruined their lives and made them unable to go out and pursue that CEO position to which they striven. I don't know. I'm a little off my game, ladies and gentlemen. I got to admit. So you got to hang with me. And then we decided to legalize the killing of innocent children. And that has led to now, here we are years later. And things aren't looking good. We need lots of young people, folks, because I don't know about you, but I hope to get old. And it would really be nice if there was someone around to take decent care of me. And we're going to need lots of young people. And it's just a disturbing trend, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't bode well for the future of Western civilization that we're not breeding, and all of our enemies are breeding like rabbits. So anyway, if you're married and you're still of childbearing age, I mean, get with it. Get to it. Come on. We need you. We need you to step up, okay? All right. Now, From the Bad Religion File, we're going to continue talking about the youths of America. We're going to go to New Orleans. A story from the Washington Post reports a Catholic high school that was the country's last refuge of corporal punishment has ended a legal struggle over control of the school and agreed that the days of paddling are over. They're no longer going to spank the kids at this Catholic high school. Dan Devalier, a board member of St. Augustine High School, he says, quote, there will be no attempt to reinstate corporal punishment at St. Augustine. Corporal punishment, by the way. That's basically spanking kids when they get out of line. According to this article from the Washington Post, corporal punishment has not been used at the school for at least a year and a half while this lawsuit has gone on with the anti-spanking jihadists going up against the Catholic school there. Let's see here. The Josephites, who founded the school 60 years ago, with the emphatic support of New Orleans Archbishop Gregory Amon, wanted paddling stopped at the school. And so here you got the Josephites. They founded an educational institution 60 years ago, and in the span of just a generation or so, they've completely lost their way. And they wanted it stopped, and so it's been stopped. Weeks of public rallies, according to the Washington Post, culminated in late June when the local directors unilaterally attempted a legal takeover of the Board of Trustees. The Josephites responded with a lawsuit. Under a settlement, neither the Board of Directors nor the trustees can amend the school's bylaws or articles of incorporation without the assent of two-thirds of both bodies. So, folks, this implies this settlement, this is specifically directed at these Josephites and these founders of this school who gave in. You know, this settlement implies that if two-thirds of the people agree to disobey God, that somehow the institution is absolved of any guilt. And that's simply not the case. So you folks who are running these Catholic schools and you're no longer paddling kids, and you're also teaching them evolution, well, you're not going to be absolved of guilt, no matter how much of a majority of you agrees to disobey the good, sound advice of the living God who created the universe and was intimately involved in the Tim Tebow victory. Here's the thing about God, is that everything happens because of God. Everything that happens can be credited to God in some fashion, because without creation, none of it would have happened. And so if you want to understand, there's verses in the Bible that talk about God creating the light and making the darkness, and some people have this yin-yang view and they think it's supported in the Bible. That's just because they don't understand the author. And for those of you out there who find the Bible confusing or difficult, let me just give you a word of advice. When you read the Bible, come to it with a mindset that you want to get to know the author. And again, go back to Genesis 1. Where it says, and God created the light, and he saw the light, that it was good. And try to figure out, what is it God meant by good? And if you come to the Bible with that perspective, it'll be a lot easier to understand. You know, toss all your preconceived notions and the cliches you've heard all your life. Set those aside, and just try to get to know the author. It'll be a lot easier to understand. And the author of the Bible, on numerous occasions, indicates that corporal punishment is important in the proper rearing of a child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so, as for me and my house, we're going to use that advice. And of course, we're not going to send our kids to the temples, the pagan temples that are disguised as institutions of learning. And I would advise you to do the same. All right. Now, just so you know, that we're even-handed here, we kind of got on the Catholics here a little bit because they've lost the nerve to spank the kids. But I want to go to a story from Myrtle Beach Online. A Rochester, New York pastor, Anthony Lee Drumgoole, he's a pastor from Rochester. He's going to be charged with kidnapping, robbery, and four counts of fraud Yeah. Back on November 27th, Drumgoole allegedly robbed a patron at knife point in the Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant bathroom, and then forced the victim to strip off his clothes so that the victim couldn't chase him out of the restaurant. This is a pastor from Rochester. Surveillance photos, according to the Myrtle Beach newspaper, showed this fella using the victim's credit card later. So a pretty good case against this guy. Drumgoole's Facebook page states that he is the founder of the Free From All Chains Outreach Ministry, and he's listed as the senior pastor since 2008. He's the senior pastor. He's 23 years old. He's the senior pastor? So the headline, of course, screams New York pastor. This is some bogus, phony online pastor. How can you be a senior pastor at 23 years old, for crying out loud? He started his own church online, got his divinity degree online, and suddenly he's a 23-year-old senior pastor. What they should have put up here is fraudulent pastor arrested in connection with Myrtle Beach robbery. But that's not how the newspaper reported it. They say he's a pastor. Well, if he is a pastor, I'm assuming he's a Protestant pastor. Let's see. Free From All Chains Outreach Ministry. That's kind of nebulous. I don't think he's a pastor at all. I thought that was going to show I was even-handed with the Catholics and the Protestants, but I don't think this guy qualifies as a Protestant. I think he qualifies as an armed robber, but that's about all we know about this guy. Senior pastor at 23. Get out of here with that, please. All right. Okay, now this is from the Justice File in San Francisco from CBS in San Francisco. A state assemblywoman accused of shoplifting at a Neiman Marcus store has pled no contest to misdemeanor charges, and her attorney says that she has a benign brain tumor that may have led to the shoplifting incident. Yeah, that is a first for me. I've never heard this particular defense, but Assemblywoman Mary Hayashi, a Democrat from Hayward, initially pleaded not guilty to felony grand theft charges. Felony, you say? Yes. I mean, this is Neiman Marcus. A security guard stopped her with items worth about $2,500 on her person that she had not paid for. Now, the charge, according to CBS in San Francisco, was reduced to a misdemeanor because that's what they do in the justice system. They wheel and deal and make deals and save themselves paperwork and allow people to lie in court. And so they reduced the charge to a misdemeanor, and the judge immediately sentenced State Assemblywoman Hayashi to 3 years of unsupervised court probation and ordered her to stay 50 feet away from the Neiman Marcus store. And she was also ordered to pay a bribe to the court, $180 in fines and fees. I didn't know there was a fee for shoplifting. I mean, if it's a $180 fee for shoplifting and you can walk out with $2,500 worth of stuff from Neiman Marcus, I mean, that seems worth the risk to me, right? I mean, you could have all the stuff sold on Craigslist before you ever even go to court, pay your $180 shoplifting fee, and pocket a cool $2,200, $2,300 profit. Well, that's what happens, folks. That's what the justice system has become. It encourages the industry of crime because we've now got an industry of justice, justice in quotation marks. That makes their living processing criminals through the system, taking their money, and then releasing them and reprocessing them. It's like me with speeding tickets, which I got another one this week. I got another speeding ticket this week, and I admit I was speeding. I told the officer, I said, you know, the lane was ending, and instead of slowing down to go around the guy, I sped up, and I shouldn't have done that because you had that laser. And folks, let me tell you, if you're thinking about getting a radar detector, when the laser goes off on your radar detector, that means you're getting a ticket. That's just your radar detector telling you you're getting a ticket. Anyway, it was very unfortunate, but I plan to go to court, and I'm going to tell whatever lie they'll offer me a lie. They'll say I had a defective headlight, or maybe they'll say I was going 65 instead of what I was actually doing, which was, I believe, 76 and a 55.
You have brain tumor.
Maybe I do have a tumor. I should go get an MRI. I could take that MRI into court and say, Your Honor, I had no idea what I was doing. till I get this thing removed, I can't guarantee this won't happen again. But don't take my license away, Judge. Because if you take my license away, how are you going to reprocess me through the system in 2 months and take more of my money? Side effect of a benign brain tumor, by the way. Various forms of amnesia. But I just want to finish up on this story from CBS in San Francisco regarding State Assemblywoman Mary Hayashi walking out of Neiman Marcus with $2,500 worth of stuff. Says she's got a tumor. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. Her defense attorney says that the tumor is curable and treatable and that it's no longer affecting her concentration or her judgment. Obviously, she's trying to get out of the criminal charge, but she still wants to keep her gig as a state assemblywoman because it probably pays her some outrageous amount of money and she doesn't even have to work. Anyway, I don't know what I'm going to do about this speeding ticket. Maybe I should stop speeding. I've been thinking about that. Just quit speeding altogether, you know? But I don't know. I do the math and I think, well, you know, how speeding probably saves me, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours a year? How much money is that worth? You know, I have to pay $1,000 for it. But, you know, they never want to give me enough points to take my license because I'm a cash cow for these people, for crying out loud. All right. One more from the Justice File. Pulled this down from Breitbart. The governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, has proposed making the state the first in the country to take mandatory DNA samples from anyone convicted of a crime, including relatively lesser offenses, whatever that means. Seems like an editorial comment. I'm not, this was posted as a news story, but what do you mean in relatively lesser offenses? I mean, if it's a crime, it's a crime. Obviously there's lesser offenses and there's greater offenses, but when you're reporting the news, I mean, the big story here is that the governor of New York has half a brain. And he wants to start keeping track of the DNA of criminals. Cuomo said, according to Breitbart, that applying DNA collection to all criminals would help help law enforcement bodies fight serious crime and protect against wrongful convictions. He says it will fight. I like this. I like the way he says this. It will help law enforcement fight serious crime and protect against wrongful convictions. But you notice what Cuomo doesn't say, he doesn't say that this will actually prevent crime. Why does he doesn't want to prevent crime. He's a part of the industry. He's a lawyer. He's a part of the justice system industry. And preventing crime is really not part of their game plan. They just want to regulate and profit from crime. That's really what they're all about. Whether they realize it or not, and I think some of them genuinely don't realize it, because once you walk away from the principles of absolute right and wrong, and that it's not permissible to allow people to lie in court, and that the guilty must be punished, and that the innocent must be cleared, once you've walked away from those principles, which our justice system did, I don't know, maybe before the Civil War, I mean, just forget about it. You've got an industry going. It used to be called a racket. Cuomo is part of a racket. That shouldn't surprise anyone. What else did Cuomo say here? He said, quote, "We're missing an important..." Now there's people in the state who think this is a bad idea because you'd be violating the rights of criminals who are guilty of only lesser offenses. So we don't want to violate their holy civil rights. But Cuomo said, if we don't take DNA from every convicted criminal, he said, quote, "We're missing an important opportunity to prevent needless suffering of crime victims." You see, folks, to lawyers like Carmine Bugsy Cuomo, a certain level of suffering is permissible. It's actually necessary, you know. And you know, because we've got a job to do. We've got all these people employed in the court systems and the police. I mean, we've got a lot of people whose paychecks rely on a steady flow of crime. So a certain level, he wants to prevent needless suffering. He's not interested in stopping crime to a trickle. No. That'd put way too many people out of work. But this, you know, the level of crime that folks like Carmine Bugsy Cuomo are willing to tolerate, that level is much higher than is reasonable or necessary. And one of the things I would suggest to Mr. Cuomo is go all the way with it. Let's collect DNA from everyone born and let them know that it's on file with the authorities. And that would prevent a lot of people from doing crimes. I truly believe that. Now, I know all of you civil libertarians out there and you Ron Paul supporters, you can't give the government your DNA, man. They'll plant it and they'll throw you in jail for life. Well, folks, they've already got that power, okay? Quit being paranoid. If the government decides to make up a case against you and come and get you and throw you under Denver International Airport in the re-education camp out there, they're going to do it with or without DNA, folks. And the justice system, as corrupt as it is still capable of enforcing the law and preventing crime. Now, we, the Christians, we need to help them. Yeah, and we need to give them the advice that could help them actually prevent crime. And stop crime. Make it so people won't commit crimes. Like a DNA database for everyone born. I would let my kids participate. I would participate. We all need boundaries, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what human government and criminal justice is all about. It's about setting effective boundaries that actually prevent crimes from occurring. It's not just about processing criminals and solving the crimes for the people who are dead and beaten and bloodied in the streets, okay? So we need to change the focus of the justice system. And it's up to you and I, ladies and gentlemen. We're the Christians. We have the answers, or at least we have access to them, because we believe the Word of God, which is the ultimate authority. And it's incredibly reliable, by the way. I'm learning that in my debate with my friend online. How reliable the New Testament is. It's pretty amazing. But I digress. Is that it? Am I done with Cuomo? I'm done with Cuomo. All right, now this is a story that you've all heard, but I have to cover it because it's just one of those compelling stories that gets the attention of the entire nation. It's out of Oklahoma City. Woman's in her house with her baby, and someone's kicking down her door, and she's on the phone with 911. And she tells the 911 operator, "This guy's trying to kick down my door. Now, I've got two guns in my hand. Is it okay if I shoot him if he comes in this door?" The audio is so compelling. When I was walking by my TV and I heard it, and I had to stop and just watch. Because this is real-life drama. We've got a woman alone at home with just her sleeping baby. I think it was a crying baby, actually. And a man trying to kick in her door. She's standing there with a shotgun and a pistol. And the 911 operator comes on the line. "I can't tell you to do that. Shoot him. But you do what you got to do to protect your baby," is what the dispatcher told her. So when this dirtbag kicked in her door and came after her with a knife, this teenage mom shot and killed him. And police are calling the shooting justified. Not only justified, ladies and gentlemen, this is a better lesson than the justice system has produced in all of its cases and filings and writings and precedents in the past decade. This one story will go to prevent more crime, especially in the Oklahoma City area, and especially at this young lady's house. There's not going to be a whole lot of guys kicking down her door in the coming days. But this is the kind of story that needs wide publication, wide broadcast. And we sure appreciate the fact that, where did I get this? This is from ABC News. At least they were willing to report it. The mother, by the way, told ABC News in Oklahoma City, she said, quote, "I wouldn't have done it, but it was my son. It's not an easy decision to make, but it was either going to be him or my son, and it wasn't going to be my son. There's nothing more dangerous than a woman with a child." At which point, people are standing up cheering and clapping. You know, it's just, praise the Lord. What a great story. I mean, it's a terrible story that this happened, but what a fine and wonderful and a teachable moment for the youth of America. By the way, this poor mom, her husband, died of cancer on Christmas Day, just a few weeks before this incident took place. And then the person who kicked in her door was hanging around with the funeral and all of that, and it was an opportunistic crime with malice aforethought. And if there's anyone who deserved to be shot dead, it was this guy. And we're glad to see that he was. Now, here's another mother who has done an awful lot to influence justice, Casey Anthony. We all remember Casey Anthony.
Oh, no. Okay.
I'm sorry. Well, Casey Anthony's video diary, apparently that was recorded last October, has surfaced on YouTube. This according to CNN. You'll remember Anthony, according to CNN, was acquitted last summer of murder charges in the death of her two-year-old daughter, Kaylee, but convicted of four counts of lying to authorities investigating the child's disappearance. Isn't that unbelievable? That you could lie to the authorities about the death of your two-year-old during your murder trial and not be convicted of murder. Something's wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Red flag, a light should be going on in someone's mind. Something's wrong. In the video, CNN says she appeared optimistic about her future as she talked to her webcam. CNN says that Casey Anthony's living at an undisclosed location in Florida where she's serving a one-year probation sentence for a conviction on check fraud. If you have a chance to watch this, ladies and gentlemen, you should absolutely watch this if you can stomach it. She says, quote, "I hate being on camera, but I don't know. I need to conquer that fear at some point, and this is a good start." Yeah.
Okay.
She says she needs to conquer her fear of being on camera at some point. Can anybody say reality show? She says, "So here's something. It's the end of the first, but just the beginning." Okay, so, you know, maybe she's maybe she was stoned. I don't know. I don't even know what that means. She said to the computer camera, she said that the computer and the camera that she has have, quote, "been such a blessing in so many ways," unquote. She also says, quote, "Now I always have someone to talk to when I'm by myself," unquote. So the video goes on for some minutes, and at least according to CNN, and I watched the video, Anthony never mentions Kaylee Anthony in the four-minute black-and-white video, but she does talk about a dog she has adopted, and she says, "I've adopted the dog, and I love him." But she never mentions Kaylee.
Hopefully that dog won't disappear.
Yeah, I don't know what might happen to that dog. No, I'm sure she'll treat her dog just fine. You know, Hitler loved dogs. Yeah, he loved animals. Anyway, I heard there's another video now coming out. I think she's gearing up for a reality show, and why shouldn't she, right? Why shouldn't she? She's a product of the justice system that could produce an awful lot of revenue.
There was one thing we would make love, but that's money. Money taking everything. I said money. Money taking everything. We think we know what we're doing. That's all.
Thank you, Cindy. We appreciate your efforts. I can't believe I used that song. I was against keyboard solos when I was actually a musician. If there were keyboards involved, forget about it. I wouldn't allow it. No way. A keyboard solo? What's that all about? Anyway, let me just go back to Casey Anthony and her whole situation. There are actually people talking about if she does reality show, if she does a book and she gets $1 million, all that money should go to her victims and the courts and all the people who work to try to find... No, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the lesson we want to teach. You cannot go on and have a career after you murder your child. That's just a bad lesson, no matter what you do with the money. So, anyway, like I say, I'm a little bit off my game, ladies and gentlemen. I really just want to get back upstairs and watch the highlights like 9 more times.
Me too.
We were a little delayed in starting the show because we watched that last play during overtime. We watched it for like 45 minutes straight. And I was looking over at my extremely attractive audio engineer, who during the Broncos' last winning streak, she used to make fun of me. She used to say, well, how many times are you going to watch this? Didn't you watch this a half an hour ago? But you know what we're doing as soon as we get back upstairs, ladies and gentlemen.
We're going to watch that.
We're going to TiVo ESPN and watch it until 3 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, and I love the fact that Tim Tebow comes out and says, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the networks have no choice but to play it. Why? Because he's Tim Tebow. He just beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he didn't just beat the point spread. By the way, that bet I offered in church, no points. I didn't need any points. It was a straight-up win or loss. Now let's move on into the bad religion file, ladies and gentlemen, as we're rounding third and heading for home here. This is from the New York Daily News. The 2006 law in Saudi Arabia banning men from working in female apparel and cosmetic stores has never been put into effect. Did you know that there was a law in Saudi Arabia that men are not to sell lingerie or women's cosmetics? Yeah, now, the law's never gone into effect, partly because of the view of hardliners in the religious establishment who oppose the whole idea of women working where men and women congregate together in places like malls. Yeah. They don't even want women and men working together. And I got to tell you, I'm not 100% in disagreement with the mullahs in Saudi Arabia on that. It's not good for men and women to work together, especially if they're married, single. You know, things happen when people work together. Things can be very intense in the workplace. And I would prefer that women stay home and take care of the children in the house and support their man. And, of course, they should buy property and make investments so that at some point the man can stop working before he works himself to death and she could take care of him in his old age. But let's get back to Saudi Arabia. So they have this law banning men from working in female apparel and cosmetic stores. Now, Saudi women, they're tired of having to deal with men when they're buying their undergarments. And they've boycotted lingerie stores to pressure said lingerie stores to employ women. See, now they've got a pretty good point there. I mean, who wants to go and buy frilly underwear from some guy who looks like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad behind the counter at Macy's, for crying out loud? So I'm torn with this story. So anyway, Saudi Arabia said last week, now the Saudis will begin enforcing a law that allows only females to work in women's lingerie and apparel stores. So this is just all topsy-turvy. I mean, they don't know what to do. The hardliners don't want women to work. The women don't want to buy their frilly underwear from men. The Saudis, now they only want women to work in the stores. I mean, Allah's head is going to explode. Mohammed's head's going to explode over this story because nobody knows what to do. I think what the mullahs will probably do is they'll simply ban cosmetics and lingerie. I'm surprised they even allow cosmetics and lingerie in Saudi Arabia, frankly. By the way, according to the New York Daily News, Saudi Arabia is home to Islam's holiest site. Not the third holiest, not the second holiest. This is the one, the holiest site in the city of Mecca. And the folks there in Saudi Arabia follow an ultra-conservative form of the religion known as Wahhabism. Wahhabism. You might remember that from 9/11 and the 19 hijackers, the majority of whom were from Saudi Arabia. and were devoted Wahhabists. The New York Daily News goes on to say, Saudi Arabia's strict interpretation of Islam prohibits unrelated men and women from mingling. See, now that's a bridge too far. I think you should be allowed to mingle. I just don't know about working together. That can lead to problems. Although, I wouldn't want my wife to have to buy lingerie from a guy. So I suppose we have to, use our best discretion and allow men and women to not only mingle together, but to work together. But it helps if you have a strong spiritual foundation and a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Creator God, so that will keep you from the temptations that can arise in the workplace. I think that's the sound compromise that we need to make on that. Now that the Saudis are going to enforce this law that allows only females to work in women's lingerie and apparel stores, well, thousands of men are going to lose their sales jobs. The labor ministry in Saudi Arabia says that over 28,000 women, many of them South Asian migrants, have already applied for the jobs of these poor Saudi men who are going to be kicked out of Macy's, or the Saudi equivalent. And South Asian migrants are going to come in. These aren't even Saudi Arabian women. You know why? They're terrified to go get these jobs. You know, they'll end up tied up in a burqa and thrown in the river, these poor women in Saudi Arabia. I have a quote here. Who is this quote from? Yeah, I should have done a better job. Oh, this is from the labor ministry. The employment of women in stores that sell female apparel and a woman standing face to face with a man selling to him without modesty or shame can lead to wrongdoing, of which the burden of this will fall on the owners of the stores, he said. This wasn't the labor ministry. This is one of the mullahs. Yeah, this is Saudi Arabia's most senior cleric, Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh. Just in case you weren't sure he was a sheikh, he's got it at the phrase Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh. So he's a sheikh, you can bet on that. So he says that the burden of this wrongdoing is going to fall on the owners of the stores. He urged store owners to fear God and not compromise on taboo matters. Folks, when your religion is based on fear, legalism, and violence, there is very little latitude to make any compromises. And there's very little latitude given by the leadership, which is why we call them mad mullahs. And, you know, this is why I think Islam is Satan's favorite religion, because it keeps its followers in bondage under legalism. Meanwhile, unspeakable immorality is rampant throughout the Islamic culture. And then at the end, they all go to hell. That's why I think Satan loves Islam. And I think it's what he would consider his masterwork as far as pagan religions. All right. Now, one from the war file, Baghdad. A wave of explosions struck two Shiite neighborhoods in Baghdad last week, killing at least 27 and intensifying fears that insurgents are stepping up attacks after the U.S. troop withdrawal, which was hastily completed last month for political purposes by Barry Ho. Coordinated bombings, particularly those targeting Shiite areas, are the hallmark of Sunni militants linked to al-Qaeda. This is according to the Associated Press. Anyway, we really appreciate what you did for us over there, Barry, in pulling the troops out and basically handing Iraq over to Iran. Yeah, that's probably my bold prediction for this week, is that by next Christmas, the caliphate will have absorbed Iran and Iraq. From the French press agency, gunmen stormed a church in northern Nigeria last week and killed six people as they were praying. The shooting took place as an ultimatum from Islamists for Christians to leave the region. That ultimatum had just expired, and the Islamists put a punctuation mark on, an exclamation point on it, by walking into a church and shooting six praying Christians. Six others were wounded. Awful. Satan's favorite religion. All right. Now this, we're almost out of time, I apologize. This is the biggest story of the week, ladies and gentlemen, no doubt about it. The United States has abandoned its capability to fight two major ground wars simultaneously. Yeah, the United States has given up on that capability. Now, I'm just going to say that's suicidal. It's suicidal and foolish, and I can't believe we're allowing Leon Panetta and Barry Ho to make these kinds of decisions. about our military. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's been one thing that has prevented World War III, it's been the ability of the United States of America to fight two major ground conflicts simultaneously. Now, let's go back to, this is again from CNN. But, says the administration, the United States would still be able to deploy troops and equipment to, quote, deter a second adversary while engaging in one major ground conflict. Now, if you can figure out what that means, God bless you, I can't figure out what that means. But I wonder if that adversary, once we are entangled in another major ground war, I wonder if that adversary is going to know what this means. I don't think he's going to buy it, whether it's the Russians, whether it's the Chinese, whether it's the Caliphate and the mighty warriors of Allah, or however it goes. Now, the same Pentagon review that ended the two-war policy is not expected to call for massive cuts to weapons programs. I found that unusual. Why not cut the massive weapons programs and keep our ability to fight two wars? I don't understand that. The review, by the way, took 8 months, which tells you it all took place under the Barry Ho administration. And it builds upon the themes from the Quadrennial Defense Review conducted in 2010. So this has Barry Ho's fingerprints all over it. Barack Hussein Obama is ending America's ability to fight two major ground wars at once. And folks, this should have alarm bells ringing. This is scary. CNN goes on to say the review was conducted in light of potential limits on federal spending and the need to reduce the Pentagon's budget. So it's all politics. All politics, no integrity, no military strategy. It's all about politics, which by now we should know that's what Barry Ho is all about. CNN says currently the Pentagon is committed to nearly $500 billion in cuts over the next decade, and it could be another $500 billion if Congress doesn't find a way around the automatic cuts enacted after the failure to reach an agreement on the federal budget. So Barry Ho has set up our military for failure. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I was in the military, and I know that it's one of the most wasteful, top-heavy bureaucracies in the history of mankind. I know that. Could the budget in the military stand some trimming? Absolutely. There's some major weapons programs that we should be getting rid of, folks. There's some others we should keep. There's a lot of administrative personnel who should be out of a job. The military could be smaller and more agile and all of that. But to abandon this two-war strategy, ladies and gentlemen, is to disregard everything we've learned, going all the way back to Sun Tzu. I mean, I wish we lived in a world where we didn't have to keep a standing army, but it's just not the case, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not the case. And I know all you Ron Paul people, you want to cut the military, bring all of our troops home. You're idiots, okay? I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but you're idiots. I want to go there and kill them before they land in Toledo. Thank you very much. And I know we're going to have to waste some money to do it, but that's only money. It's not blood, okay? Unbelievable. Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta. It makes me tremble, ladies and gentlemen. Tremble in fear for my country. All right. Finally, from Denver, Colorado, Carmen Tisch, this woman named Carmen Tisch, is accused of causing $10,000 worth of damage to the Clifford Still Oil on Canvas painting last week at a Denver museum.
Yeah.
Tisch was believed to have been drunk when she attacked the artwork. Yeah. Yeah, she pushed on it, she punched it, and she attempted to urinate on it, but only urinated on herself. Authorities said the work is valued between $30 and $40 million.
What?
Yeah. Now Tisch was believed to have been drunk when she attacked the artwork worth $30 million. I mean, I saw the artwork, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sorry. I think she might have thought that someone had already peed there and that it was okay to pee. It was like one of these abstract art things. She was obviously drunk. You know, she should have gone up to Loveland and peed on that blasphemous picture they had up there that great woman from Montana attacked with a crowbar. Anyway, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to have time to work on the blog, so I'm not going to put up this art. But, I mean, you look at the story, you look at the art yourself, and tell me if it doesn't look like a stain of some sort, possibly a bodily fluid. Well, that's all I got this week, ladies and gentlemen. My pipe's held out. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com at Denver Bible Church, Personage USA, American Right to Life, Colorado Right to Life, and TheologyOnline.com. And as always, I want to thank my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, ladies and gentlemen. Should the Lord tarry, and if it is His will, I'll be back with you next week, ladies and gentlemen. Win or lose, I'll be back with you next week, ladies and gentlemen. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.